Caroline and Ashley didn't look up from their homework. "Hey, babe." Ryan pulled me into his arms and kissed my forehead. "Are you okay?" He raised his eyebrow, lowering his voice and asking why my face was so red like I'd been crying. I didn't answer his question. I just stared into his eyes, wondering how he could act as if everything was normal, as if he hadn't fucked Amanda in our bedroom yesterday. "You're drenched." He ran his hands against my soaked blazer. "Did you lose your umbrella?" I swallowed, shaking my head. He smiled. "Well, go dry up. Whatever's bothering you, whatever it is, we can talk about it after dinner, okay? I ordered pizza from the girl's favorite place and it's ready now." He kissed my cheek. "I'll be right back." I heard him whisper, "I love you," into my ear before he walked away. As soon as I heard him revving up his engine and heading down the driveway, I turned to face my daughters.
"Mom?"
Ashley tilted her head to the side.
"What's wrong with you?"
Caroline lifted her head up and frowned. "Mom,
why are you staring at us like that?"
She looked at Ashley and shook her head.
"Why isn't she talking?"
"I need you two to go to your room." My voice cracked. I need to talk to your dad when he gets back. Alone.
They exchanged confused glances, but they put their folders away and hugged me before heading upstairs. As soon as I heard their door close, I took out the envelope and sat down at the table, thinking about how I was going to present the photos to Ryan. All of a sudden, my phone vibrated. A text. Amanda.
"Hey, Claire. Just texting you to remind you about that jazzercise class we signed up for tomorrow morning. I'll pick you up at 9. "Is this bitch serious?"
I tossed my phone across the room, knocking a photo frame off the wall. Hurt, I stood up and took the photos out of the envelope. I walked around downstairs and tossed them all over the floor, leaving a trail from the dining room to the living room and into the kitchen. The last photo in my hands was one of Amanda straddling his lap in his car last week, in the parking lot of his law firm. I wanted to rip it apart and force the pieces down his throat, but I heard the knob of the garage door twisting, heard him saying, "Where'd everybody go? I'm back." I leaned against the table and tried to calm my shaking hands. "Ashley? Caroline? Claire?" His steps were getting closer and closer.
"Did a tornado hit the inside of our house while I was gone?"
He finally stepped into the kitchen.
"What's going on, Claire?"
He set the pizzas on the counter.
"What are all these pictures, and why are they all over the place?"
I didn't answer. I just stared at him as he bent down to pick one of them up, as his face immediately went white. He looked up at me in utter horror. Devastation.
"Claire, I'm so sorry. Can we talk about this?"
I cringed at the memory and splashed more water onto my face. The mere thought of Ryan still lit a bitter flame within me. But seeing him? In person? That was a damn wildfire, and I wasn't sure how long it would take to put out. I couldn't believe his audacity. To actually show up and attempt to have a regular conversation with me. To act as if I would give him the time of day. What the fuck does he want? There was a knock at the door, but I didn't answer it. I couldn't. My body was shaking and my thoughts were consumed with rage and disgust. Why would he even show up here? He knows I hate him.
Claire.
Jonathan's voice was on the other side of the door. Yes? I snapped out of my trance and unlocked it.
Why are you in here? And why is your face wet?
He grabbed a towel off the rack and softly pressed it against my cheeks.
Are you hot?
No, I'm...
I hesitated.
We can reschedule the appointment.
He wrapped his arm around my waist and walked me out front.
I'll let her know we can come another day. You don't look like you're feeling well.
I'm not. Ryan was just here.
His body immediately stiffened, and he looked down at me with his jaw clenched.
Your ex-husband, Ryan?
I nodded.
What did he want?
I don't know. I told him to leave. I didn't want to talk to him.
Good.
His eyes softened a bit, but I could tell he was upset.
How does he know where you work?
I don't know.
Caroline and Ashley knew better than to discuss me with Ryan, just like they knew better than to discuss him with me. The few mutual friends we shared in Pittsburgh only knew tidbits of my new life. Nothing major,
and they would never share any information with him.
Do you know why he would bother coming to San Francisco?
I shook my head. There was nothing here for him.
Hmm.
He pulled me close and kissed my hair.
I'll make sure he never bothers you again.
I wanted to ask how, but I knew he would handle it. I leaned against him and sighed as he led me over to the passenger side of his car.
Since you're finally leaving work on time today, what would you like for dinner?
He revved up the engine and looked over at me. You?
That's implied.
He grinned.
We can order something in.
He pulled off and sped onto the highway, making me smile at how perfect my life was right now. How everything I wanted and needed was sitting next to me in this car. As I looked out my window and watched the city disappear in the distance, I tried not to think about Ryan's visit, but I couldn't help it. Outside of scheduling time to see our daughters, Ryan hadn't bothered me any other year that I'd been living here. He knew not to, and I didn't need my painful past colliding with my perfect present. Ever. It has to be something really serious for him to come here. No, fuck him. It doesn't matter what it is. Chapter 1.5 Claire. Summer 2009.
You didn't see any of this coming, Claire.
My next-door neighbor, Andrea, handed me a box.
There had to be signs.
No. There weren't any signs. I gritted my teeth.
I'm sorry, I just...
You just what?
Amanda's a really good person.
Are you fucking kidding me, Andrea? I asked you over so you could help load up my car, not stand there and defend that hoe bag. She sighed.
I'm sorry. I just thought you would have been a little suspicious.
Suspicious of what?
The two of them hanging out so much, maybe?
She placed the girls' blankets into my trunk and shut it.
Michael and I thought something was up when the three of you came to our Christmas party last year. They spent an awful lot of time on our patio.
Thank you, Andrea. I tried not to yell at her. That's what I really need to hear right now. You know what? Say it again so I can feel even better. She pulled me into her arms and hugged me tightly.
I'm only saying it because I never really liked Ryan, Claire. I've always thought you could do better, so much better. I'm not happy at all about what happened to you, and if I could kill them both and get away with it, I would.
Her voice cracked.
I've just been trying to change your mind about moving, but... Keep yourself safe in San Francisco, okay? I want you to find someone who actually deserves you.
I nodded and slowly let myself out of her embrace. I tried to hand her the $2,000 check she'd given me earlier, but she refused to take it and walked away, crying. I forced a lump down my throat and slipped into my car with my daughters, heading straight for the highway for our new life. You had to see the signs, Claire. You had to see the signs.
I hadn't. I really hadn't. How could I when Ryan was so fucking wonderful? So fucking perfect. And Amanda was... She was my best friend.
I drove down the interstate and flipped through all my memories. Birthdays, get-togethers, anniversaries. And in every last one... The two of them were right by my side, as always. I thought back to more recent memories as I crossed the state line, and then a couple started to stick out. A couple that I would have never second-guessed before. 3 months ago.
Death by falling off a building or drowning in the ocean?
I threw a peanut M&M at Ryan.
Falling off a building.
What? Why?
It would be an instant death once my body hit the concrete. Drowning takes way too long. Plus, there's no guarantee my body would be found if I died in the ocean. I want my body to be in the casket after I die.
I nodded at his logic and looked up at the bright blue sky. We were sitting in the grass at Frick Park, enjoying a small breakfast picnic together. We'd been coming to this park once a month ever since we were in high school, ever since he admitted that he was in love with me. And wanted to marry me someday.
Okay, wait. I looked over at him again. I have another one. Which is worse? An emotional affair or a physical affair?
He paused before answering, then he looked into my eyes.
Emotional. It's easier to cut off sex. Feelings never go away, no matter how hard you try to bury them.
That makes perfect sense. So, let's say your wife is having an affair. Would you rather it be with a stranger or your best friend?
What?
Would you rather lose your wife to a stranger or to your best friend? I threw another M&M at him.
Jesus, Claire. What type of question is that?
You've asked me much worse before. I shuddered, thinking about the time he'd asked me whether I'd rather have sex in front of 20 people or get gangbanged by 3 guys in private. He looked out over the lake.
Neither.
You can't choose neither. I shook my head. That's one of your rules. Remember? Pick.
I guess I would pick the stranger.
Yeah, the stranger.
That's it? That's all you have to say?
You usually have an entire reasoning behind your pick. Give me the logic.
Well, I guess it would hurt either way. I just...
His voice trailed off.
With the stranger, I wouldn't have to worry about feeling as betrayed. Whereas if I lost you to my best friend, I'm not sure how I would ever deal with that, or if I would ever get over it. It'd be the worst thing my best friend could possibly do.
I 100% agree. I pulled him down onto our blanket and kissed his lips. You know what I was thinking the other day?
Tell me.
We never got the chance to have a real wedding.
What do you mean?
I sighed and remembered how poor we were when we decided to tie the knot. How I'd had to buy my wedding dress from the neighborhood thrift store and beg my mom to make all the alterations. We didn't even have enough money to rent a venue. And since our church was undergoing renovations, we decided to have it in his mother's backyard. Don't get me wrong, that was the happiest day of my life, and our moms decorated the hell out of that backyard, so much so that it looked like it belonged in a magazine. But it wasn't everything I wanted my wedding to be. Wouldn't it be great if for our 15th anniversary we renewed our vows at an actual ceremony? I asked.
Well, wait. It would probably have to be 5 or 6 months after our anniversary.
Why is that? Because of Amanda? She'll have delivered her baby, and I would want her to be my maid of honor again, with a real dress and flowers this time. He mumbled something that I couldn't hear. And we could have it at a real venue, not in your mom's backyard, I smiled. Ashley and Caroline can be junior bridesmaids. Or do you think they'd rather be hostesses?
They'll probably just be happy to be in the wedding.
He moved closer to me.
I thought you liked our wedding. I did.
I did too, but it wasn't the wedding of my dreams, you know?
It was for me.
He caressed my hand.
I just wanted to be married to you. It didn't matter where it happened. It could have been in the courthouse for all I cared.
My heart swelled as he pressed his lips against mine. It was small moments like this that made me appreciate him more and more. Even though he was making 10 times the amount of money he was when we first got married, he always touted me as his best asset, and he always found the sweetest words to say. I hope it's always like this, Ryan, I smiled. Always.
Like what?
Calm, easy, perfect? Just perfect, I kissed him.
Me too.
2 months ago.
Tell me why you're planning a trip to the Panama Canal again?
Amanda tied an apron around her baby bump.
You're scared of planes.
We're going to take a cruise there, smartass. And I figured that we need to start planning now. You know Ryan doesn't have much free time outside of his off days. He seems to be a lot busier now. She cleared her throat.
Right. Would you like some cookies? I made your favorite yesterday.
She walked over to the refrigerator and pulled out a tray of mint chocolate chip cookies.
I think I finally perfected my mom's recipe. Do you know she still won't give it to me? That's how stubborn she is.
Ryan would never cheat on me, right?
What?
She raised her eyebrow.
What did you just say?
That Ryan would never cheat on me, right?
You think he's cheating on you?
She frowned.
No, I don't know.
I think I've been watching too much Dr. Phil or something. Every couple on there that's been together for 10 or more years seems to fall apart over infidelity. And a lot of them talk about all these signs that signal that an affair could be happening, but Ryan is just really busy now. It can't be what they say.
No, it's definitely not. Don't read into it too much.
I shrugged. I'm sorry I ever brought this up. I don't even know where that thought came from.
Don't apologize. I'm sure every woman has doubts about her marriage from time to time.
I know I do.
You do?
I thought everything was great now, especially since you finally have a baby on the way. I leaned over the counter and took a few cookies off the tray.
Looks can be deceiving.
She looked like she was about to cry, like whatever was on her mind was something that was tormenting her.
Barry is... I don't know. He's different lately. He hardly ever speaks to me. It just started happening a few weeks ago. We were fine, and then one day he came home, walked into the kitchen, and he just stared at me for a long time, looking me right in my eyes. It hasn't been the same since. I don't know what it could possibly...
She stopped and her eyes widened. You think you know what it could be? I took a bite of my cookie.
Oh, God, these are really amazing. You should sell these someday. Can I take half of them home?
She didn't answer me. She stood there silently, staring into the distance like she was in an awful trance.
Amanda! I waved my hand in the air. Hello, Amanda! You there?
She shook her head and smiled nervously.
Yeah, sorry. Would you excuse me for 1 minute? I need to call someone. If those brownies go off, would you please take them out for me?
She slid a pair of oven mitts towards me and rushed out of the room before giving me the chance to respond. When she returned, 10 minutes later, it was as if that odd little episode had never happened, and for the rest of the afternoon she and I laughed over our favorite baking pastime.
Promise me that we'll do this for the rest of our lives, Amanda.
I smiled as I placed my favorite cookies into Ziploc bags.
Ashley and Caroline are going to be disasters in the kitchen, so I'll need you to do this with me when life stresses me out.
Of course, she said. I'll always be here when you need me, no matter what happens between us.
What could possibly happen between us to make us not be friends, Amanda?
She picked up a cookie.
Nothing. Damn right. Next to Ryan, you're my everything. And don't you ever forget it.
Tears fell down my face as I tossed quarters into the toll booth, as I flipped through more memories and realized that there were signs, but the two of them had worked so hard to cover them, and they'd purposely left me in the dark. Maybe from the outside the cracks had been easy to see, but from where I'd been standing, everything looked complete. I sped onto the next highway and turned up my music, trying to drown out the cries I was finally letting free, promising my heart that I would never allow myself to be so trusting and vulnerable. I'll never allow another man to get that close to me. Ever.
Chapter 2. Jonathan. I don't want Ryan Hayes within 10 miles of my fiancé. Are we clear?
Yes, sir, of course, Mr. Statham.
As you wish, sir.
My top security personnel nodded their heads in agreement. I need to know why he's here by the end of the week, and if he's still here at that point, we need to figure out a way to get him the fuck out of here and back to Pittsburgh, dead or alive.
Mr. Statham, Greg narrowed his eyes at me. I rolled my eyes. Barely alive or alive. You're dismissed, gentlemen. I waited for them to leave before falling back into my chair. I'd been too angry to sleep the night before, and I could tell by the way Claire looked when she woke up this morning that she hadn't slept well either. On the one hand, I was happy she'd told me about Ryan making an unwanted visit at her store. But on the other, I was angry with myself. If I'd arrived there a few minutes sooner, I could have personally made sure he would never bother her again. Claire was mine. Period. I didn't need him trying to win his way back into her life, or whatever the fuck he was trying to do now that she was happy. I'd worked too damn hard to repair all the damage he'd done, too damn hard to earn her trust and show her that she could be loved again, and I wasn't going to let him fuck that up. I need a drink.
Mr. Statham,
Angela walked into my office without knocking.
What happened to using the intercom?
I have special privileges. Plus, I'm covering for Haley today, so protocol is going to be a little loopy.
Why are you covering for her?
She has a breakfast date, she shrugged.
It's no biggie. She'll be back in 2 hours. Anyway, your daily flower delivery to Miss Grayson has just been confirmed. Your meeting with Flynn Tech is set for noon. The wedding planner's meeting with you and Miss Grayson is set for 3, and you have another appointment with your mother and the therapist at 4:30.
I hadn't heard anything past the words breakfast date. Haley hadn't mentioned anyone new to me in months. That had to be a mistake.
I shook my head and forced myself to believe that my little sister had simply said the word date instead of meeting. Then again, I'd heard her and Claire giggling about something over dinner a few days ago, something neither of them seemed interested in telling me.
And the City Foster Center has invited you to receive the annual Humanitarian Award.
Angela slid an envelope across my desk.
They say they'll plan the ceremony around your schedule. I know you have the month in mind, but have you set an actual wedding date yet?
Not yet, I leaned back in my chair. Send me a text later tonight. I think we'll have one in mind by the end of the day.
Of course, sir. Do you need anything else from me before I run down to executive affairs?
No, Angela, thank you.
As soon as she left my office, I picked up my phone and called Corey.
Yes, he answered. Who are we stalking on this lovely day?
Are you at corporate?
Not yet. I'm still at breakfast. What's up?
I need you to build a file for me as soon as you get in.
I have my tablet on me. I can do it for you right now, he paused. What's the name and date of birth?
Ryan Hayes. I don't have a date of birth. He's Claire's ex-husband.
Good enough. Hold on.
He hummed a few times and mumbled a few words to himself, his normal hacking ritual.
All right, done. I sent you everything from the 3 largest databases. When I get back, I can run his name through 16 more.
Thank you. Don't forget.
I opened my email and sifted through the documents and security footage he'd sent. I couldn't find anything linking him to San Francisco except Claire. Hell, Ashley and Caroline were in Arizona, and I knew he was well aware of that. I was about to set it aside for the day, but I saw an email about a high school class reunion at the Regency Ballroom that was 2 weeks from now, something Claire hadn't mentioned to me.
Dear Shenley High School Class of 1991, it is my pleasure to invite you all to our yearly reunion in California. As usual, I'll be covering the travel expenses for each of you. It pays to be CFO of Disney, doesn't it? And yes, I'm rubbing that in your faces, again. Since we did Anaheim last year and L.A. for most of the years before, I figured we'd do San Francisco for a change. Now, as usual, if you choose to be a planning assistant, I'll fly you out a couple of weeks before the reunion to help me with certain aspects of coordination. But you must help for at least 5 hours a day. You know how huge this event is to all of us, and we have to make sure each year is better than the last. If you are an assistant, you'll help finalize the final itinerary and be responsible for setting up the gift bags for a class of 500 awesome people. If you're busy and have a life, yes, James Klein, we all know you're a huge golf star now and your schedule is hectic, just send me your travel/lodging preferences, up to 2 tickets per person, and the assistants will mail your official tickets a week before the reunion. Looking forward to seeing you in a few months. Harrison Woods.
I clicked through the attendees that had signed up and noticed that next to Claire's name was a no response checkmark. I called Corey again.
Corey, I need something else. I need you to intercept any emails regarding a Shenley High School class reunion from a Harrison Woods. He's the CFO of Disney.
Disney? Are you serious?
Can you do it?
He sighed. Their firewall might be a bit challenging to get through. Give me a few seconds.
If you can bypass any emails about insignificant party details, that'd be great. I just want the finalized RSVP list.
Got you something even better. Do you see it?
I looked at my screen and saw a spreadsheet detailing each member of Claire's high school class and every California reunion they'd attended throughout the years. Claire hadn't attended any, ever.
Were all of these reunions in California, Corey?
It looks that way, which is crazy because the high school is in Pittsburgh,
Looks like it all started with their 10-year reunion, and then it became an annual one. That Harrison guy literally pays for each and every one of these things. It must be a pretty good tax write-off. Okay, thanks. I hung up and called Ashley. Hey, Jonathan. She picked up on the first ring. Hello. Are you busy right now?
Not at all. I actually just opened the care package you sent me. Are you calling because you meant to send $500 and not $300? Don't worry. I knew that was a mistake.
She laughed jokingly.
You can wire me the rest.
That's more than enough to get you through the week, I said. I'm calling to ask you something. When's the last time you talked to your dad?
2 days ago. Why?
Just wondering. Has he mentioned moving out of Pittsburgh?
No. He did mention taking me and Caroline to a hockey game this winter, since his firm gave him free season tickets, which is odd because we both hate hockey.
So he still lives in Pittsburgh?
To my knowledge, yeah. I'm sure he would have told me and Caroline if he was planning on moving. He tells us everything.
Right. Well, thank you for letting me know.
You were serious about only giving me $300?
There was a smile in her voice.
Don't you think that's an odd amount to give someone every week?
The first few times were okay, but it's getting out of hand now. Goodbye, Ashley. I hung up. I was about to call Claire, but I heard my doorknob twisting, and there she was. She was dressed in a short white dress and high-heeled gray pumps, with a one-of-a-kind triple pearl strand necklace I'd bought for her last weekend. Are you familiar with the phrase, knock first? I raised my eyebrow.
Am I interrupting a private session? Is there a woman sucking you off under your desk?
Not today, I stood up and walked over to her. She only does that when she's really happy with me.
She is really happy with you.
She wrapped her arms around my neck and kissed me. I know our meeting isn't scheduled until later, but can we cancel it? I want a different wedding planner.
You came here just to tell me that?
I came here because I'm on my lunch break. Speaking of which, if you're going to continue sending my staff a catered lunch every day, they prefer sweet tea and lemonade over Coke. I smiled and kissed her neck. I'll have it changed by tomorrow. How many minutes do you have left on your break?
10,
she stepped back. Is that a no to changing wedding planners? It's a maybe, because this is your third wedding planner. Are you trying to stall marrying me?
What? Of course not. I just want our wedding to be perfect.
And actually, I've been reading a few in-depth articles about huge weddings, and most of them agree that the ideal planning period is 6 months to a year. What's your point?
My point is that I think you should reconsider the time limit you gave me, because that's not enough to even scrape the surface of everything I want to do. Since you claim you want nothing more than to make me happy, I think you should be a bit more generous when it comes to this, especially since this day is so important.
Claire, I looked directly into her eyes. I'm going to say this one last time, and I'm never going to say it again. You have 3 months to plan this wedding. 3 months. Period. I do want nothing more than to make you happy. And by the way you scream my name every night, I'm pretty sure I'm doing a damn good job. That said, I'm not waiting any longer than 90 days. And trust me, I'm being more than generous.
Jonathan.
If it had been up to me, I would have married you the day after I proposed. But since you insist on having a wedding, you need to figure out a way to plan it within that time frame. If you have a problem with 12 weeks and an unlimited budget, or if you even try to push this wedding back by one fucking second, we're getting married in a courthouse and you'll be planning an after party. She narrowed her eyes at me, and I pulled her into my arms. Why didn't you tell me about your high school reunion being in California? Don't you think that's why Ryan would be in town?
I guess I wasn't thinking about it, she shook her head. The reunion is always in California, and he's never bothered me before, so...
You don't want to go?
No, I never go.
Why not?
I don't want to see him or her. I can't handle being in the same room with either of them, ever.
She gave me one last kiss and freed herself from my embrace.
I have to get back to work, so I'll see you at home. And before you ask, yes, I'm redesigning the living room again this week. I'll see you at dinner.
At 6.
At 6,
she smiled as she left my office,
and I knew damn well she wasn't going to be home by 6. She never was. After she left my office, I went back to examining Ryan's files. Even though he was in San Francisco 2 weeks before the reunion, he wasn't one of the planning assistants, and he still hadn't responded to the actual invitation, which meant he definitely wasn't here for that. He was here for something else.
Okay, Jonathan, Denise, we're in the closing minutes of this session.
Miss Tate looked over at my mother.
In all honesty, how do you think today went?
I think we're really making progress, she said as she tied a scarf around her neck. I feel like we're getting somewhere.
We are, I sighed. If you keep behaving, I might invite you to the wedding.
Excuse me? What wedding?
My wedding.
You're engaged?
Her eyes widened.
To Claire?
Is that a problem?
Miss Tate tapped her notebook.
We can discuss that next time. No new conversation topics within the last 10 minutes, remember?
Let me get this straight, my mother ignored her. You're about to get married, and you didn't think to tell me?
I didn't think you would care.
It's been over 8 months, Jonathan, she sighed. I've apologized to you. I've sent Claire God knows how many letters in the mail. And I would really like to have a functioning relationship with at least one of my children.
I shouldn't have to beg for that,
she looked over at Miss Tate.
Should I?
There was silence. I didn't feel like getting into a deep conversation with her today. I was fine with the molasses speed progress we were making, and I had no desire to fully integrate her back into my life. I stood up and shook Miss Tate's hand. As always, thank you for mediating these sessions, Miss Tate. Mother, Greg is downstairs waiting to take you home.
Is twice a week too much to ask? My mother looked hurt. Can we at least try it?
I'll ask Claire about it and get back to you next week.
Claire? You have to ask Claire?
She narrowed her eyes at me. I know my opinion doesn't matter much, but it doesn't matter at all.
Let me finish, Jonathan. I can at least...
No, you can't. You don't need to say anything about what I'm doing with my life or anything that relates to Claire, because it's none of your business. What you can do is be happy for me, stay on your best behavior, and show up to the wedding if I decide to invite you. I kept my eyes locked on hers. If you pull what you pulled last year, if you even attempt to say anything to her without my permission, I'll never speak to you again.
Jonathan, Denise,
Miss Tate stood up.
I think it's best if we end the meeting without saying another word to each other. You're both doing so well. You don't want to lose all the ground we've made so far, do you?
You're still holding that bullshit from last year against me, my mother scoffed.
Seriously? That's what this is about? You're over our past, but you just want to throw in the Claire drama to keep me out of your life?
My keeping you at a distance doesn't have shit to do with Claire. It never has.
Then why are you still treating me like this?
She stood up, hissing.
Why are you acting like a goddamn child? I said I was sorry. And just in case you didn't catch what I said earlier, I've apologized every damn day, and I've even apologized to your girlfriend, excuse me, your fiancé, telling her how much I wish I could take it all back. What more do you want?
I felt like I was going to vomit. She was literally making me sick. I treat you like this because it's never been about me. I stood up and narrowed my eyes at her. I could have handled myself. I did handle myself. It's always been about Haley and how you left her in my care, a child's care. Why can't you see that? Haley has nothing to do with what happened between me and you, Jonathan. It's her fault if she doesn't want to reconcile with me, because you know damn well I've tried. You're just coming up with another hoop I have to jump through. And you know what? Go to hell. Her face paled as soon as I said those words. And for half a second I regretted saying them, but not enough to stay.
Mother, Miss Tate, I'll see you two next week. I can't deal with this right now.
I stormed out of my office and headed towards Angela's desk.
Mr. Statham, is everything all right?
She looked up.
No. Can you call my fiancée and tell her I'm on my way to pick her up for dinner, please? Tell her it's non-negotiable.
Yes, sir.
I hit the down button at the elevator and stepped inside as soon as the doors opened. I wasn't sure why I still put up with my mother,
Why I even tried, because she honestly didn't deserve anything from me after what she did last year. Maybe deep down it was pity, shame, but I promised myself I would never forgive her until she completely acknowledged and understood how she'd almost wrecked my little sister for life, how she'd single-handedly damaged her, leaving me to repair what little I could. Chapter 2.5. Jonathan. Summer, 1995. I sighed as I twisted the door handle to our trailer, slowly stepping inside.
Where the fuck have you been?
My mom sat up and took a long drag of her cigar.
It's 3 in the afternoon, and you've been gone all day.
I was at school.
Oh, right. Well, could you go back there and shut your sister up? She's been screaming all day, and I can't get any sleep. All she ever fucking does is cry.
I looked down the hallway and noticed that once again, the door to me and Haley's room was locked so she couldn't get out. Can you sign this? I pulled a paper out of my backpack and handed it to her. Pre-K starts next week. You have to bring that form next Monday so she can go.
God, Jonathan. One thing at a damn time. Can you do what I asked you to do first?
Can you shut that girl up, please? She threw the paper onto the floor and curled it into a ball.
How can you expect me to sign paperwork when she's back there screaming her lungs out?
Get the hell out of my face. I realized that I was going to have to pull out one of her old checkbooks again and forge her signature. I was also going to have to come up with one hell of an excuse because I knew she wouldn't show up for Haley's first day of school. She never did anything for Haley. Before I could make it down the hall, a beer can hit me square in the back. I turned around and saw my father taking a seat on the couch next to my mom.
There's more of that in the fridge, boy, he said. If you can't get her to shut up, you just give her some of that, and she'll be out in 20 minutes. It worked like a charm yesterday.
I stared at the two of them for half a second, wishing that I would wake up from this nightmare any second, that they would go back to being who they used to be. But I knew it wouldn't happen. They'd been this way for the past couple of years, and there was no going back. Untwisting the doorknob to my bedroom, I slipped inside and saw Haley hugging a pillow to her chest, rocking back and forth. She hadn't noticed that I'd stepped in. She was still crying, screaming.
Let me out, please, Mommy! Let me out, please!
At 4 years old, she was a lot smaller than most kids her age, and even though she was the spitting image of my mother, she was the only person in my family who had blonde hair. She hadn't always cried so much, but that was back when she actually got attention from my parents. As soon as she turned 3, their interests went elsewhere, and she cried for their attention all the time.
Stop crying, Haley.
I walked over and scooped her into my arms.
It's okay, it's okay. Johnny,
she looked up at me in tears.
You left me.
I'm sorry, I patted her on the back. I had to go to school, but I'm here now.
But you go to school every day. Why?
I sighed and held her close, consoling her until she stopped sobbing. I looked behind me and noticed that she hadn't wet the bed today.
A good thing, because I hadn't stolen any quarters this week, and I didn't feel like walking to the laundromat in the rain.
When I was sure she was okay, I rummaged through my backpack and pulled out what I'd saved for my school lunch. 2 apples, smashed macaroni and cheese, mashed potatoes, and a turkey sandwich. Practically a gourmet meal for us. I got you something special today. I handed her the last Ziploc bag, something I'd stolen from my math teacher, and she squealed and emptied it onto the bed.
Strawberries!
She grabbed a handful and stuffed them into her mouth.
Slow down, one at a time before you choke.
I waited until she withdrew 3 of them from her jaw.
Did you watch anything good on TV today? Sesame Street. But I've seen it before. I knew all the songs. Cookie Monster played the drums.
That sounds great.
Which song was your
Thank fuck you got her to shut up, my father barged into the room. That girl isn't going to have a voice by the time she's 10 if she keeps crying like that. Have you seen my car keys? They're on the TV out there.
Right. Well, me and your mom are going out to get some pizza. Pizza?
Haley's eyes lit up and she clapped.
Pizza!
He nodded and bent down to pinch her cheek.
What type of pizza do you want, Hales?
pepperoni and cheese.
Okay, that's exactly what we'll get. Jonathan, what type do you want? I didn't answer. I just shook my head.
Okay, well, I hope you like pepperoni and cheese because that's what Haley wants, and that's what we're getting.
Oh, Haley was still clapping. I can't wait. I can't wait. Can I come with you and Mommy, Daddy? Can I help pick up the pizza, please?
His thin smile faded, and he patted her head.
Next time, babe, okay?
Okay, she seemed saddened. But then she looked up at me and whispered, We're getting pizza.
My dad left the room, and Haley followed him into the living room. She stretched her arms up into the air, waiting for our mother to give her a hug. But she simply looked down at her and said, We'll be back, Haley. And with that, they left and slammed the door to our trailer on their way out. Sighing, I returned to our room and picked up the Ziploc bags, placing them into the refrigerator. I knew they would come in handy later tonight.
I love pizza, Johnny. Don't you?
Haley sat on the couch and looked out the window.
It's my favorite.
I said nothing and pulled out my homework, looking up every 15 minutes or so, watching Haley stare out the window in anticipation of a pizza that was never coming. After 3 hours of waiting, she eventually fell asleep. I wanted to carry her back into our room and tuck her into bed, but I didn't want her to wake up hungry.
Haley? I shook her shoulder. Haley, wake up. Did the pizza come?
She murmured. No, it didn't. You need to eat something before bed. I handed her a plate of microwaved mashed potatoes and macaroni.
Here.
She scrunched her face and shook her head.
I don't want it.
Now, Haley, eat. Frowning, she picked up the fork and took small, slow bites. When she finished, she walked over to where I was sitting and grabbed the bright pink sheet I'd given to my mother hours ago.
Imamora Porisku Imra Perschool,
she looked up at me. Emory Preschool.
Emory Preschool,
she repeated, and her eyes lit up.
I'm going to preschool, Johnny. I'll read really, really good if I get to go.
We'll see.
That means yes.
She jumped up and hugged me.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait.
I forced a smile and decided to change the subject. I didn't want to get her hopes up.
Let's watch a movie, Haley.
I reached for her hand.
Which one do you want to watch? Cinderella.
Okay. I walked her back into our room and tucked her underneath the covers. Then I hooked up the VHS player and put in the movie, waiting for her to fall asleep. She sang along to every song, encouraging me to sing along as well, and since I knew all the words from the millions of times we'd watched it before, I tried not to sound too terrible. As the evil stepmother locked Cinderella away in the attic, she rolled over to face me.
I got a question, Johnny.
What is it?
Are you my guardian?
Your what?
My guardian. Elmo says everyone has a mommy, a daddy, or a guardian.
Your guardian? She nodded, and I sighed. No, I'm not your guardian. I'm just your big brother.
But you do everything a guardian does.
You tuck me into bed at night. You teach me how to read. You get me food. Go to sleep, Haley.
And when I cry, you come and hug me so I can stop.
She rolled back over.
That's what guardians do, Johnny. I saw it on the TV.
A week later. It was Haley's first day of pre-K, and my mother had shockingly remembered to take her. As the three of us walked to Emory, Haley giggled and clapped about going to real school like on TV.
Can you stop fucking shouting?
My mother rolled her eyes.
It's too early in the morning for that shit. Sorry, Mommy.
She looked up at me hurt. So I patted her head and made a funny face to get her to smile again. The three of us walked into the school building and waited as my mom filled out more paperwork and handed over her ID. When she was finished, one of the teachers led us into a colorful classroom. Haley squealed and immediately let our hands go, walking around the room in awe.
Wow, the teacher smiled. I think that's the most excited I've ever seen a child about her first day of school.
My name is Miss Cole, and I'll be Haley's general education teacher for the year, Mrs. Statham. Since you're here early, where would you like to sit today?
Sit?
Yes, we ask that at least one parent sit with the child on their first day of pre-K,
so they can make the transition as easily as possible. Don't worry, during nap time the principal orders food for all the parents, so you can get a little break. My mother shook her head. I can't stay here all day. I have a long shift ahead of me at the hospital. Lots of lives are at stake. She'll be just fine. Miss Cole looked confused. Can you stay for the first couple hours at least? We usually let the kids introduce themselves and their parents over orange juice and muffins. No, I can't. Sorry, she shrugged. Can my son take my place? Doesn't he have to go to school today, too? Do you have school today, Jonathan? She looked down at me and then she laughed. Of course he has school, but it's only two blocks down. Since you guys are Emory 1 and he's at Emory 2, can't you call over and work something out? I would stay if I could. I really would, because I don't want her to be alone on her first day. If I had known about this, I promise I would have taken off. I just can't. Not at the last minute. Miss Cole's eyes softened, and she looked like she actually believed my mom's lies. I'll see what we can do, Mrs. Statham. Thank you for all the hard work you do at the hospital. My mother reached out to shake her hand, and then she walked over to Haley, whispering something in her ear that made her bright face dim and her eyes water. Mr. Big Brother, Miss Cole handed me two paper plates. Pick whatever seat you want for you and your little sister, and then take out the crayons that are in the desk. Before we introduce ourselves, we're going to draw a picture of our favorite things. I'll sort everything out with Emory, too, when I get back. I have to get more students. My mother patted Haley's head one more time and threw two thumbs up at us as she left the classroom, saying, I love you, Jonathan and Haley, in the fakest voice I'd ever heard. I tried to keep Haley distracted by suggesting things for her to draw on her plate, but I couldn't help but notice the tears falling down her face as the other kids took seats with their parents, as they were kissed and hugged repeatedly. Make sure you draw a picture of your parents or your guardians on the paper plate, too, Miss Cole smiled from the front of the room. Haley's bottom lip quivered, and she took several short breaths, a sign that another one of her long crying episodes was about to begin. Before she could get it out, I tilted her face towards me and whispered, Can you keep a secret, Haley? She nodded, still taking short, erratic breaths. What does a secret mean? I can't tell no one. Exactly. I held her chin up and wiped her tears away with my sleeves. So the secret is, I am your guardian. I knew it! She covered her mouth and then uncovered it, whispering, I knew it, Johnny. I won't tell no one, ever. I pinky promise. She held out her pinky for me to seal the deal, and then she leaned over and gave me a hug. She started to color her plate again, and then she looked up at me. Can you keep a secret? Of course. I don't think Mommy and Daddy love me, she blinked. That's not true, Haley. They do love you. No, they don't. They're not like the mommies and daddies on TV. They don't care. But you do, Johnny. You're the best guardian in the world.
Chapter 3. Claire. I sat still in my chair at Sweet Dolce, the most highly regarded catering business in San Francisco. I was trying my best not to jump over the table and punch the catering director in the eye, trying not to scream at her for being completely unprofessional. Her name was Miss Hansen, and for the past hour and a half, she'd been flirting with Jonathan as if I wasn't sitting right next to him. She'd shown us over 20 examples of her fruit displays, and she'd only asked for Jonathan's opinion, batting her big brown eyes each time she uttered, How do you like it, Mr. Statham? What's worse was that the members of her staff, all female, were standing in the room. They were eye-fucking his every move and frowning at me whenever I said a single word. And lastly, this is an example of our chocolate-covered strawberry tear. Miss Hansen smiled as her assistants set a medium-sized chocolate fountain in front of us. The strawberries are cemented around the edges with a clear sugar glue, and your guests will be able to retrieve the chocolate strawberries that are currently floating on the second level.
With sticks? Jonathan asked.
Yes, Mr. Statham. She nodded and blushed.
We can even engrave your last name onto the sticks for an extra touch of personalization. She pulled out a glass box of wooden sticks, handing one to him and asking if he wanted to give it a try. Do you have any questions about anything, Miss Grayson? She looked at me for the first time all day. Is there anything else you would like me to show you? No. I placed my left hand over Jonathan's, purposely showing off my massive engagement ring. I think you've covered everything. Can my fiancé and I have a few minutes alone, please? Of course, she sneered as she glanced at my ring and ordered her staff to follow her out of the room. As soon as they were gone, I picked up my fork and stabbed a strawberry before dipping it into the fountain. Before I could bring it to my lips, Jonathan gently grabbed my hand and pushed the fruit into his mouth. It's very good. He smiled and prepared one for me to try. What do you think? It's okay. It could be better. Are you saying that because she was flirting with me? Or do you honestly think that it could be better? So you did notice how much extra attention she was giving you? He smiled. It's not funny, Jonathan. I'm not laughing, Claire. He mocked me. In that case, you should have said something.
Something like what?
Nothing. I decided to change the subject. I did like her take on white truffles by filling them with buttercream, and I appreciated the caramelized almond dip. That was different.
Something like what?
He cupped my face in his hands.
Are you jealous?
No. He trailed his fingers across my lips.
Are you sure? You have no reason to be.
I'm not jealous. I'm just... It would be really nice if we went somewhere and every woman wasn't gaping at you or flirting with you like I'm not even there. Like I'm invisible. I remembered our last dinner date at a restaurant on Fisherman's Wharf, how the waitress immediately blushed bright red and giggled, fucking giggled, upon seeing Jonathan. I was pretty sure that if he hadn't ordered my food for me, she would have never asked me what I wanted, because outside of saying, "More water, miss," or "May I take your plate?" she directed all of her attention towards him.
I could say the same for you.
He narrowed his eyes at me.
Other men stare at you all the time, especially when you're wearing a dress.
Well, at least I don't flirt back. I picked up one of the heart-shaped croissants and handed it to him. Men won't even talk to me when you're around, and you know it. How do you feel about these croissants? Do you like how she made them pieces in the upside-down chess square cake? Or do you think she could have... He pressed his lips against mine and pulled me into his lap, making me forget whatever I was about to say.
First of all, he said as he let my lips go, I never flirt back. I simply smile and respond, because that's the nice thing to do. Second of all, the only reason I didn't look at you during this meeting was because I knew that if I did, I'd be laying you across this table in front of everyone. And third, 8 months ago, I couldn't get you to go out in public with me. And now you're showing me affection all the time, which I fucking love, I must say. But I think you are jealous. As a matter of fact, I think you're the jealous type.
What? I am not.
You are.
He kissed me again.
But I like it.
I shook my head, prepared to tell him exactly why I wasn't the jealous type. But he lifted me out of his lap and set me on the table. Before I could ask what he was doing, he slid the straps of my dress down and unsnapped my bra, letting it fall into my lap.
Do you want to know how I know you're the jealous type, Claire?
He grabbed one of the wooden sticks, placing a strawberry on it and smothering it in chocolate. Seeing as though I'm not... It'd be pretty interesting to hear your thoughts. He moved the strawberry over my breasts, letting the chocolate drip over my nipples. Then he slowly moved it towards my mouth. Eat it. I took a few small bites and swallowed. I can see how dripping chocolate on me proves that I'm the jealous type.
You ran onto that stage last year and kissed me in front of everyone, because you were jealous that Stacy was pretending to be my girlfriend, because you didn't want her anywhere near me.
No. I ran up there to prove to you that... I stopped once he leaned forward and licked one of my nipples.
I think that deep down, that's the real reason why you ran up there. You didn't want her to have me.
He slowly took my other nipple into his mouth and ran his fingers through my hair.
That's not true, I murmured.
He looked into my eyes and smiled. Then he dipped one of his fingers in chocolate and pushed it into my mouth.
I wanted to fuck you right on that stage when you did that.
He waited until I'd sucked his finger clean,
but seeing as though you didn't do it out of jealousy.
My breath caught in my throat as he pushed my shoulders down so my back was against the table.
There are other reasons that clearly prove you're the jealous type.
I moaned as he shifted the bottom of my dress up to my stomach, as he leaned forward and pressed a long, hot kiss between my thighs.
The real reason why you always go as my date to company functions isn't because you're trying to be a good girlfriend.
His voice was low.
It's because you don't want another woman to get close to me without knowing I'm taken. And you make sure that they know, because you never let my hand go. Am I drawing the wrong conclusions?
I didn't say anything. I just bit my lip as he flicked my clit with his tongue in between sentences, rendering me completely helpless. He sat up and grabbed another strawberry, letting the warm liquid drip onto my stomach. He kept his gaze locked on mine as he smeared it across my navel.
You make Angela text you any time I have a one-on-one meeting with a female client.
He swirled his tongue around my skin, gently licking everything and holding my thigh still.
And you always call right before those meetings, or show up to my office as soon as they're done.
He kissed his way up to my neck.
You think I haven't noticed?
Jonathan. He let out a low laugh and blew a kiss against my ear.
You still don't think you're the jealous type?
I was trying not to give in. He was kissing my lips and softly caressing my breasts with his hands.
Am I going to have to fuck you on this table to make you tell me the truth?
I shook my head, and he slowly pulled my legs apart.
Then tell me the truth, Claire. Tell me you were jealous when you ran up on that stage.
I was a little jealous.
A little?
He grinned and trailed his fingers against my lower lips. I sucked in a breath as he massaged my swollen clit with his thumb, as he used his other hand to grab another chocolate strawberry.
A lot.
How loud do you think you would scream if I fucked you right now? Do you think the women on the other side of that door would get the point?
I gasped and squeezed my legs around him. Please, we have... I didn't want to come on the catering table. We have other appointments to go to. He narrowed his eyes at me, but he slowly pulled me back up and licked one last drop of chocolate off my breasts.
We'll finish this tonight.
Hours later, Greg pulled the town car into a small shopping plaza and slowed as he approached the speed bumps.
Okay, Claire.
Jonathan let out an exasperated sigh.
This is the last appointment of the day. If you don't like this place, you're going to have to pick one of the other eight because I'm not putting up with another day of this shit.
Seriously? This is our wedding. Don't you want it to be perfect?
I don't have to have a wedding and you know that. I just want to marry you. The sooner the better.
I sighed. Since I'd insisted on having a separate caterer for the main dinner, we'd been testing different sweets caterers all day. While most of them were good, none of them left me that impressed. Either the execution was slightly off, the presentation wasn't eye-catching enough, or the taste of the food left much to be desired. Okay, I said. I'll try not to be so critical. The last place wasn't that bad, it's just...
Just what?
There was this place back in Pittsburgh, Stella's. I used to use them for our company functions, and they were phenomenal. It was a tiny business, but the woman who owned it worked magic every single time. She always went out of her way to make sure every fruit and hors d'oeuvres display was designed to perfection. Plus, she made the best catered food I've ever had in my life. I think I'm just comparing everything to that. He reached over and held my hand.
If we have to look another day, that'll be fine. I want this to be the wedding of your dreams.
Does that mean you'll give me an extra month to plan it?
No.
And the next time you ask me that, I'll make you regret it.
He kissed my cheek as the town car came to a stop. Don't even try me, Claire.